Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, May 9th, 2022. Broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern to 11 p.m. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by app, phone, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. I'm not sure who's making that noise. Can we fix that, Terry?
I fixed it.
I still hear it. Oh, okay. I think it just ended. All right. Okay. Thank you. All right. Let me put some things, change some things here on my site here. Okay, we're going to pick up on our scripture reading where we left off last week. We're in the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 9, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam, and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth.
Okay, is Jan here? Or Terry, you're going to be asking, do you have any questions?
I hadn't prepared because I just now found out that Jan's going to be late.
Okay. All right. So if you pick up any questions, maybe you can let me know. We'll deal with them. Do we know if we got any announcements?
I don't have any.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe when Jan comes in, maybe he'll have something. Meanwhile, I don't have a subject prepared for tonight. I was thinking of doing something with habeas corpus. I've been working on the book, Court Access and the Common Law, and putting a lot of time into it, and I think it's going to be ready soon. I'm going to do a little something different on getting the book out into the marketplace. I'm probably going to go straight up and have the book printed up and print books on demand up on, numerous places do it, so I got to look into that. I might do it that way. I know last time I put a book out, it took almost a year to get it published, so I don't think I'm going to go through a publisher again. I think I'm going to self-publish. But in any event, I'm kind of hoping to get it out in the next couple of weeks. I put a lot of stuff into it, and I'd like to start to maybe do some reviews of it. Maybe next week I'll look at habeas corpus. I do have a chapter on habeas corpus so that people can write their own habeas corpuses. And if they need some assistance, we can assist them also. But people should know how to do these things. People should know how to access the courts. They should know how to deal with their own legal problems. You go find a lawyer, it costs you an arm and a leg. Ultimately, it's just not worth it. They take a large fee off you. And things people could do themselves. All right, but anyway, we're going to open up for a Q&A pretty quickly. Let me see. I've got a couple of people in the queue. If anybody wants to get into the queue, a star 6 and a 1. And any questions or comments, any corrections, anything, we'll take them in a minute. And if Jen comes in, let me know, and we'll see if he's got anything.
I reviewed the questions, and there aren't any. The only one that had an actual question, I answered already.
Okay. All right. And give me a yell if you see Brent come in.
Will do.
So we'll go straight to Q&A. And again, anybody wants to get into the queue, star 6 and a 1. So let me see if I can work my way over to the Q&A. All right. Okay, let's take first question. Someone from New Jersey, what's the first name?
Yeah, my name is Julie.
How you doing, Julie?
I'm doing great. This is my second time on the call, and I have to say I'm really liking what I'm hearing. I have a question regarding, I'm still working my way through the website, and I have been working my way through Government by Consent. Love it. And my question is there are other groups. There was another group that I had seen a presentation that was given to us at our church that talked about correcting your status. And I was just curious as to if you had any thoughts on that. Basically, this group has what's called the LRS, Land Recording System, where people fill out a whole bunch of paperwork and it just sits almost in a database, and then you end up going and you've allegedly have a different set of documents with you, and you are not under the jurisdiction, you're changing the jurisdiction of, you know, versus land, sea, air, that kind of stuff. And I'm just curious as to what your thoughts on that might be.
Well, it is mostly wishful thinking is what it is. Excuse me. And we have looked into this. As a matter of fact, you know, when we started out, we got a lot of information on that. We checked out a lot of places. And as time went on, doing my own research and putting things together, I come to the conclusion, why do we want to change our status? I think we need to change our courts back to courts of justice. And I think we've got to take our government and turn it back to a government under the consent of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Government
I agree.
By consent. And, you know, we've used some of that stuff. As a matter of fact, I did go and do a paper and filed it with the clerk and, you know, to put my status up. But it doesn't get you anywhere. I've been in the courts, made some certain arguments. They ignore them. Really, it doesn't get anywhere. A lot of people think that they're going to make some changes, maybe get rid of their driver's license, get rid of their Social Security
right.
card and different things, and they're going to maybe click their heels and they're going to be transferred into some court of justice. It's just not going to happen. I've been
okay.
involved with this for a long time. I've been studying, I've been studying the law a little bit for many years because as a contractor I studied construction law and I had the no construction law for my business. But generally how to get into the courts and work in the courts, that's something I've learned over the past 12 years or so. We started working very seriously into trying to understand the problem in government, the problem in the courts, how do we get here, how do we get out of here. And, you know, it was a pretty serious problem.
Yeah.
I think we were preparing for the worst until Trump got into office. And now that we know devolution is in play, I don't know if you're familiar with devolution.
I've heard the term devolution. I've also heard that there's a movie out called 2000 Mules and how they did the mm-hmm. ballot stuffing and this was documented versus it being like actor type thing. And then the other thing that was announced on Saturday through NPR is that they said an executive vice president of Pfizer was actually arrested for fraud based on the doctored reports when they were testing the vaccines. So I know there's a lot of stuff going on, but I'm not exactly sure what the devolution in and of itself is. Everybody's throwing all these different words around, and I'm like, okay, I can't absorb it all. My brain is about to explode.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, my church wants to do the right thing. We have speakers come in, and we're just trying to gather information, and I just happened upon your site, and I'm like, wow, this makes sense. Wow, you answer questions. And it's just been amazing. So
I see you're from Jersey. I see you're from New Jersey.
Yes, I'm Central Jersey. I'm about 20 minutes from Rutgers, about 30 minutes north of Princeton. The church is in Bridgewater. Hey, I can connect you with my pastor. I know he'd love to talk to you.
Well, we're looking to be starting to travel again. I mean, we've traveled all over New York, lots of places, Connecticut, some Jersey, Pennsylvania, and over the years. And we had other people, you know, we traveled. Ultimately, we as a group, as National Liberty Alliance, we really mm-hmm. hit state and the union and established an organization. And we have about 10,000 members. And
I see that. We also have Concerned Citizens of New Jersey that has started, that has a membership that also meets out of our church. And mm-hmm. and I think they're just looking for more guidance. And we've just had, you know, the other group that was in there, I started asking questions, and I wasn't getting answers, and others aren't necessarily satisfied. But I just wanted to get your take on that.
Right. What we're doing is developing committees of safety. We're doing what our founding fathers did when mm-hmm. Britain, you know, they were under Britain's rule, and they had a lot of problems, and they weren't getting laws passed and certain things that had to be done. And so they mm-hmm. they created their own sort of government alongside the government. They wanted to remain under, you know, under British rule. But, of course, it didn't work out because...
Right.
You know, they were really destroying common law. They were destroying the way of life that our founding fathers really wanted to continue in. And but what they did is they created committees of safety. And actually, committees of safety goes all the way back quite some time. I mean, the Pilgrims, when
yes.
they came over, they had exercised the committees of safety, and that's how they survived. And when a government doesn't perform the necessities for the people, then committees of safety, the people get together and take care of business themselves from the grassroots level. And that's how they formed this nation. That's how they controlled, that's how we had government by consent, committees of safety. Committees of safety controlled the court system. The court system is to be controlled by the people, not mm-hmm. by a judge and not by the government itself. I mean, they're to provide a place, of course, and we've paid for that through our taxes. So we have mm-hmm. courts that have been established. And, of course, there's courts of equity, which deal with commercial activity and government activities. But when it comes to the people's business, then the people, they're to have a courtroom, of course, and there's no judge in there. There should be just a magistrate, which is sort of like a traffic cop, keep things moving along. But it's the
right.
people who make the decision. It's the people who indict. It's the people who judge and the people who decide innocent or guilt. And it's the people who are to decide both law and facts. Of course, they have destroyed all that, and we've
yeah.
lost our common law in the courts back actually quite some time ago. You know, we go back to the Rules Enabling Act of 1934, which was executed in 1938 by the United States Supreme Court. And as an act of treason, and of course, they were controlled by the bar. I mean, they're
right.
bar judges, bar lawyers, they control the courts, and the lawyers control everything. They control the political process. They statutize
mm-hmm.
that, and they have party bosses, and they control everything. So the people have no process, no way, if you get involved in what they have set up, which is the committee man process, or just be obedient to the court and have an individual who is elected or appointed judge you. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. So we're forming committees of safety in order to take that back, and we're training people and teaching people to work your status. Look, we have a status. We, the people, ordained and established. We don't have to work out any more we don't have to establish any more status. We don't have to prove anything to anyone. We, the people, ordained. We established the Constitution for the United States of America. It's clearly written that way in the preamble to the Constitution. We have a Bill of Rights, and we judge all law and all things that a government does, whether it's right or wrong, by looking at the Bill of Rights. Anything that violates the rights of the people is null and void. It's repugnant to the Constitution, and we can nullify it. So the people have to learn. They've robbed us of our heritage. They've destroyed our education. They're just really destroying our children in the schools. And,
we've got a rally going next week. It's unbelievable.
We need to take it back. We need to take back our educational process. Our children need to learn the right things. They need to learn civics. They need to learn the Constitution. They need to learn how to access a court. They need to learn how that they have a duty to get involved in the local community as committeemen, working to control the things that we, the people, need to control. And,
I've started my constitution course with Hillsdale, so I'm trying to get that back in, but I do recall in high school, and I won't say when, but I did take a civics class, and as I've been watching things through time, I'm going, this isn't right. And other people are telling me, no, this is it. And I'm like, no, this isn't right. This is not how this was set up. And now it's like, it's all in our face. And it's just like, I knew it wasn't right. I don't know what to do about it.
Right. Well, again, you know, we have to learn, and that's the key. Yeah. Okay.
What is the devolution?
Well, devolution, you can look into it. I'll give you a brief idea. If you come under today's issues on our website, I don't know if you're looking at the desktop here.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Under devolution, you come down to devolution, under today's issues, and you come down to devolution. Click on that, and there's quite a few videos here. You'll learn all about it. Devolution really goes back to Kennedy's time, and when Kennedy realized that there was a conspiracy to destroy the Republic, one of the things he set forth were the special forces, particularly the Green Berets, and that spread out to many others. So the special forces, they've gotten a direct order from President Kennedy, which has been handed down to this very day. If you speak to people in the special forces, they'll tell you that they're very much aware of the order by President Kennedy to protect this republic. So devolution was executed, was actually put into place back in Kennedy's day, of course, he did it, but it was executed in 2017 when President Trump became president. And things are about ready to change. As a matter of fact, let me just go back to the front page. I put something up on the front page a few weeks back. It says, the truth is a force of nature. It's all going to come out. It's all going to come out. I'm quoting, hang in there, President Donald Trump, on April 2022. So that's what he said. And, of course, we've been watching for quite some time. And we're waiting. We know it's very close. It's definitely going to happen this year. And one of the things you won't worry about is, having to give up all these things in order to have status and not to participate in these things and pay the taxes and all that. All that's going to change because we're going to return back to the Constitution. Income tax clearly is against, it's against the law. It's very clearly written up in the Constitution that there should be no direct tax. So tax on your property is unlawful. It's repugnant. Mm-hmm. It's null and void, and we the people can nullify it. But the key thing is this. President Trump, working with the military, who, again, he put forward, and they're going to be executing some things shortly, and I'm pretty sure we're going to see President Trump come back and finish off the last 2 years, and I believe he'll get elected one more time. The Constitution, the extension off the Constitution, of course, written law through legislation, which they have the authority to do, an individual can serve up to 10 years as president. So if someone finishes off half of a term of a presidency, which is 2 years, and then they were elected twice, they can do a full 10 years in opposed to 8 years. And I think that's what's going to happen. I'm very much convinced of that. And he's going to bring things back to order. And everything that Biden has done, he wasn't, his whole thing was a fraud. He wasn't president. It was a coup. Everything he's done is unlawful. So it really will be null and void as soon as we take back this nation.
He's not lawful, period, because he is not a sound mind.
Of course not. Yeah. And besides that, of course, they stole the election. They've been stealing the election for a long time.
Well, that's the 2000 Mules movie that was done based on the ballot stuffing in the boxes. That's
right.
What that was about.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They've been watching this going all over, even in the 2016 election, which brought Trump into office in the beginning. They've been watching even back then. And of course, very closely on the last 2020 election, and of course, you know, be watching on all of these, this next election coming up also. But all that should be repaired. And there's hundreds of thousands, literally hundreds of thousands of indictments. And the military is going to make a major move. If you
the
watch,
good military, not the...
Of course, the yeah, soldiers. Of course, yes. And if you watch what's going on over there with Russia and Ukraine, really, they're taking out the deep state out there. They're taking out all of those biolabs.
The
CIA and the Nazis.
One of the girls that I was talking to from the other group, is that her family is in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, yeah, her brother's an electrician running around like crazy. Yes, they're avoiding Marisol?
Mm-hmm.
Maripol, whatever it is. But she said it is not what they're showing you on the TV at all. It is, you know, it's not that, because she talks to her family all the time.
Right. Yeah, they're just getting rid of the evil that they have set up there. And he has no intentions of taking over, Ukraine. And,
no.
And he wants to bring it back and to themselves and have a relationship as Russia always has had with Ukraine. But in any event, and you're going to see China is going to do the same thing soon.
China was in cahoots with us, as far as I just saw this in a seminar on Saturday, when it came to the coronavirus, and I can send a link to a website he's with other information. You know, whether you post it or not, it's just information if you're ever interested in looking at it. And what he has found, because he is a researcher and he digs and he digs and he digs and he's a biochemist, what he showed us was just absolutely amazing, because if we're enemies with China, you just don't turn over this type of information to your enemy. So there's so much that's just going in every different direction.
Yeah.
But
and the problem in China is the Communist Party. It's the deep state. They have a deep state there. Russia has a deep state. We have a deep state. We have a problem. And all of the democracies that have been created, some couple of hundred altogether, and the United States has been busy, you know, the deep state within the United States has been busy creating democracies.
It's
called
BlackRock, Klaus Schwab, it's called Vanguard, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, anyway.
Yeah, well, they've been, creating democracies. Democracies is just the first step for an oligarchy. It's a setup in order to get, the people behind the puppets. And so the puppet masters. Xi is looking to, of course, look at the Communist Party is days and numbers, and they are numbered. And they've been going out for quite some time, and it's a matter of time before they're taken out. Have heard that Xi is working also with Putin and with Trump and others to get rid of the deep state and free the world ultimately.
How do you find this stuff out? It's like I must live in a bubble or something. I'm like, you know, I mean, there's always stuff going on, but I'm just like, where does this information come from? I know, get me wrong, I love seeing it on the website, and I'm like, you know,
mm-hmm.
The network is just incredible.
There is a lot of people that have been working over the years trying to get the information out, put out lots of videos, and wrote a lot of papers. There's a lot of stuff out there. Griffin, I don't know if you're familiar with Griffin. He does a lot of documentaries. He's been doing that since 1959, I think was his first documentary. And concerning the assault upon America. And we got about 20, at least 20, maybe more. I think we got all of his documentaries. If you go up to our website, you'll probably find some of them under today's issues and probably some under some education, I think. But today's issues is probably where you're going to find a lot of that. I'm trying to think exactly where.
Okay.
Let's see if I can come up with something real quick here. I know it's, let me see if it's here. No, maybe it's not here. Maybe it's under education. Courses, articles and essays, educational videos, or maybe under topical. Okay, here, under topical, G. Edward Griffin's documentaries. If you click on that, this guy is the pioneer. He's the one that has really brought out.
Where am I looking?
So it's found under education. Education starts here. You come down to topical.
Okay.
Okay. Let me scroll
up
a little bit.
Oh, G. Edward Griffin documentaries?
That's it. Okay.
Okay, I'll look at those.
This one here. This is a guy, let me see. He's trying to think of his name. Forget his name. But he did some research on the trusts, and he kind of filtered the missing information that we really needed on how they really done what they've done in order to take over things. But they've been working at this for a long time. The Revolutionary War never ended. It continued.
I know that.
The Pope and the King came together to work to destroy America.
What I read, and a lot of Catholics are finding out that their theocracy is in fact a government versus, you have the theocracy, which is the government, and then you have the church side of it, and the theocracy and all of this stuff and they've got our documents and we're bonded under them and all this other stuff. So yes, they have a deep state, they've
absolutely,
that's been talked about too, considering it's only 1 square mile, but they have a deep state. It just blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It just blows my mind. But I'm sure they're.
Anyway, they put out letters of marque way back when. I mean, this goes way back. First of all, in 1750, or let me think, it was 1750. I think it was a little later than 750, maybe 1760, where the Bar Association was founded here in America. And the sole purpose was to destroy up our judicial process and eventually mm-hmm. our political process, because we broke away from England, of course, the Declaration mm-hmm. of Independence. But the war, that Revolutionary War, it just went covert, that's all. Now it's over. Now people are starting to see what's going on. And again, the whole process was to destroy our republic. People claim we're a democracy, and when in fact... We're not.
We're a republic.
Correct. It's not even used in the Constitution. You don't find it anywhere. And you'll mm-hmm. find that they did speak about democracies in the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers, mm-hmm. but it was always negative. It was a government, type of government process they did not want to use, because they called it mob rule, and it doesn't work.
That's right.
And we look at our political process, it's always battling and arguing things that these people have no authority in debating and arguing. They have no
right.
authority to make these laws and rules or anything on these things, because we didn't give them
The Constitution doesn't give them that.
The authority to do, right, exactly.
Neither does
limited
the Declaration
powers.
Of Independence, which mentions God 4 times.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, going back to the original thing, we don't get involved in telling people to get rid of their license or their Social Security number or any of those things. Things are going to be corrected soon. I have a driver's license and I can't afford to be in jail all the time, so I'm not going to give up.
But my
position when I go into a court, if they ever bring anything up to me on that, because I make my arguments and I've decided now I'm not going to pay their fines, when they catch mm-hmm. me, speeding or whatever. But the whole process and everything is unlawful. They don't have
yeah.
the power or authority, to do these things. And they're operating under, using equity and commercial activities and applying that against the people. And that has nothing to do with us at all.
The one group I was listening to said that we were supposed to be getting vendor cards in order for us to get our money paid back to us. Is there any
thing
to do with that?
There's so many stories going on, and a lot of people making things up. Maybe the enemy's bringing some stuff in, or people, imagining things. I don't know. Here's the fact, though. Here is the fact. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
These people have destroyed our economic system. They've been destroying it for a long, long time. We've been ripped off since we were born. I mean, they've been stealing from us, and you know, we don't have the riches that America had. You know, when I went into business way back when, all of the contractors, you know, the old timers that I had met and you know, would try to learn from, they all were rich. I mean, the general contractors, they were all rich. They had boats and houses and, you know, mm-hmm. some house. And I mean, and I was heading that way, but I never got to attain that level. And I did huge work. I mean, we did large subdivisions, infrastructures, you know, roads, mm-hmm. water, sewers, drainage systems. You know, I've done a lot of work, and still, you know, it's always battling and struggling to pull that dollar and to try to save a dollar. Because the inflation, the economy has been terrible. I mean, people...
Make sure you pay the government.
Yeah. People look at... people need two people working in a household. When I was a kid, that's not the way it was. Most
no.
mothers were home. they were housewives, and they were...
Mine was.
You know, mm-hmm. Yeah. Most people I knew, their mothers were home, and, you know, and only one person went out to work. I mean, some of them had careers, but most of them didn't, most of the women. And that's the way it was, and one person could support a household. But that can't happen anymore. It's you know, $20 an hour is meaningless.
You don't have that option. And our kids are being raised or indoctrinated by wherever you place them for care.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go into schools, and then they're getting indoctrinated. It's like, if you both want to work, go ahead. If you both want a career, you want to build your empires or whatever the case is, it doesn't matter whether you're man or female. But it's just to have the option that a parent can stay home if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it.
So, you know, again, you know, money was so different. I remember when I was a kid, money. A pizza pie when I was a kid was $1.10. That's what a large pizza pie was, $1.10, you know.
Wow.
And, you know, a nickel went a long way. I've got a bill from a lawyer. My mother had, you know, I found it, you know, and I put it aside after my mother passed away. And there's a bill from a lawyer from some things, some work that the lawyer did. And the bill came up to like $4 and change, $4.95 or something like that. And that was the power of money back then. You know, today, you know, $2,000 roughly, or $1,700, somewhere around there for an ounce of gold. And let's say it's $2,000. You know, $2,000 for an ounce of gold, $20 back in 1913, or the turn of the century, $20 mm-hmm. would it took to buy an ounce of gold. So you had 20 silver dollars. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Or silver certificates when Kennedy came out with the silver certificates. But in any event, $20, okay,
mm-hmm.
equal 1 ounce of gold. And just think, you know, what $1 could buy. It's one-tenth, or think of $5.
Mm-hmm.
5, 10, 15, 20, that's a quarter of an ounce of gold. That's $500. $5 had the value of $500 today. That's how powerful money was. I mean, you didn't make as much, you know, as far as per hour, but what you made was more than plenty. People could survive off of it and live good. They destroyed everything. You know, we need to really bring it back, but we have to have government by consent, and the people have to step up and do this, because if they don't, it doesn't matter what Trump does. It doesn't matter what the military does.
No, he can't do it by himself. We need people who are educated.
Right, and we need to make sure our children get a proper education. You know, look, we have problems with food. We've got problems with health. We've got problems with water. We've got problems with the air. They've destroyed it all. They've poisoned
mm-hmm.
everything. And they've turned everything upside down. They filled everything with sugar, and sugar is destructive. Carbohydrate, mm-hmm. destructive. High fructose corn syrup, destructive. GMO, destructive. I mean, it just destruction. And,
you
know, my health was failing. I had a weight problem. I was trying to get rid of weight, and I just couldn't do it. I didn't know how to do it. But then I discovered, you know, very simple thing. You know, of course, exercise, supplements, vitamins, but stay away from carbohydrates and sugar, bare minimum. You know, don't eat too much of it, just bare minimum. I think 40 or 50, what do they call that, grams, is it? No. I forget what they call it, whatever, any event, you know, not to eat too much. I think it's grams or something of, of carbohydrates. But in any event, once I realized that, my health turned around literally, and all kinds of things have totally changed in my life. And we need to teach our children, you know, in school also, a proper diet and vitamins and necessities for those things, especially when you get older. You know, when you're younger, your body can build, throw off a lot of different vitamins, you know, make them itself. But when you get a little older, your body doesn't produce a lot of these things anymore. And so you have to take the supplements. But in any event, we need to teach our children that, you know, the duty that is required to have the heritage that they've been given, the liberties that they've been given. And we need to teach them how to have government by consent, how to you know, take care of their own legal needs and go into a court if they need to represent themselves and take care of their own business and to control the courts, because those are our courts. They belong to us. They don't belong to them. You know, these are the things that people have to do, and we have to train our children to do this. We get them a proper education. So, I don't know, have you seen our books? By the way, if anybody wants to get into the queue, *6 and 1, we did have another person in there, but right now...
I was probably talking too much, I'm sorry. I do have your government by consent.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I have been going through that and then looking up all the little footnotes.
Footnotes are important. I when I get that book out on court access and the common law, I really think it's going to be a really good book. Matter of fact, once I get it together, I'm going to talk with Brent. Brent's a lawyer, and he's a common law lawyer. And I'm just going to run it through with him to see if there's anything that he thinks I'm kind of missing in there. And, you know, just going through the table of contents alone, you can see all the things that I have in there. But I think it's going to be a real good, powerful book. I think it's going to teach people how to get into the courts. There is nothing out there. I've tried so long looking for something, and we did find a course called, goodness, it's on the right-hand side of our website, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it's How to Win in Court Without a Lawyer.
Right.
It's called Common Law. We need only to learn common law to apply in place of civil law. This is not an NLA-provided course, but yeah.
Right. And it was pretty good in the sense that it was taught by a lawyer, okay? There are problems in there, but the thing is you can learn the access, the process, the procedure.
Well, part of the problem is that they combined our unalienable rights and common law, so to speak, with civil matters, and you can't do that.
Well, yeah, they took common law and civil law, common law and equity, they claimed to bring it together, and they call it civil law, which is Babylonian law, and you had to put us under statutes and codes and stuff.
Yeah, no.
And so we got to take that all back. We got to bring it all back. But in any event, the course that we took to learn Act Basic, how to get into the courts and then everything else, you know, you kind of learn, you know, the school of hard knocks. And so that's how I learned a lot of stuff, a lot of research and trying to figure things out. But I've gathered so much information, and I've always looked and hoped, why was there a book somewhere that you can just get and figure things out? There's nothing out there. Even this course is it's a little tough. I did the course in 3 days. I worked Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I literally spent day and night just reading through everything, putting things into order, making notes, and I went through the entire course in 3 days. And then I took a lot of the paperwork that I gathered from the course and created my own books and that I could go back and... you know, go back and get information from whenever I needed it. But, again, one of the problems was he was a lawyer, and he would teach, you know, exactly what he was taught in school. Don't bother going to the Constitution. There's plenty of statutes out there. Use statutes. I mean, that's what he teaches. And of course, you got to ignore that part. The other thing, of course, is he didn't understand common law, and that's, of course, what we've been studying for quite some time, and we brought that into... what we have learned, because the paperwork is the same, the forms are the same, the process is the same. The only difference is the law, either common law or you're going to use some kind of equity, you know, civil law. And so that's really the only difference, and common law is very simple. You know, it's really just pure logic. It's you know, common sense.
It's for the common man. It, you know, when you look at everything, and it's like my brother-in-law went to law school for 4 years. He's an attorney. And I remember asking him, I'm like, well, you know, how does this fall in constitutionally? Oh, constitutional law is a whole different kettle of fish, and you really got to this, that, and the other thing. And you know, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah, the Constitution is so simple. It really is so simple.
I can still sing the preamble from Schoolhouse Rock. I mean, you know, I love those on ABC and Saturday mornings when I was a kid, but they have this whole tune for the preamble to the Constitution. I mean, like, wow, you don't hear this anymore anywhere. And it's just, you know, obviously he didn't take constitutional law, and if he did, you know, he had to take his recommended course. If he did, they certainly didn't teach it to him right.
Well, yeah, they don't teach that in school. They teach them, you know, really... what they want to teach them, to give them a mindset, and these people believe we're under Roman law. I mean, that's what lawyers tell me, that we're under Roman law. They don't understand where this nation came from. So they've trained them into this statutory process, and it's created a prison for themselves and for the people. True believers. It's very difficult to turn a lawyer. Very, very difficult, because first of all, they think that you don't know nothing anyway, especially if you don't understand the court process and what they know. They think they'd spent a lot of money in order to get that course, to get their credentials, and then you go practice law and you can't do it type of thing. It's so difficult to talk to these people. It's like deer in the headlight. When I write a paper and I fill it up with footnotes and stuff, I mean, look at people who are not lawyers, they understand it. Lawyers, they don't understand it. They scratch their head because they can't believe they spent all that money to go to school and wasted their time. Now, of course, there are some good schools out there that are not bar schools, and there are some lawyers that are not bar attorneys. I mean, and they may, of course, have taken the bar, but they learned outside of the bar. And, you know, we got Brent, for instance. He's a common law lawyer. He's done a lot of his own research in common law. He wrote the book.
He was on the call last week, wasn't he?
He's on the call most every week. I don't know if you matter of fact, he's here right now, yeah. So he'll be taking the mic in a few minutes. Lawyers are very, very difficult to talk to, but they're really sold down on what they've been taught in these bar taught schools. And... Mm-hmm. So they're difficult. But you talk to the regular person who has nothing in the background, they're not adulterated by all this stuff, you know, they can pick up on this pretty quickly, you know, and they can understand it very quickly. I know I started to understand things very quickly when I started looking into these things. I remember my big battle. I got involved with this back in 1999 is when I started my... journey in this process of insanity to discover. It took me a while to discover it, that we're in trouble, and we've been taken over. We've been infiltrated by enemies, foreign and domestic, within our government, in the federal government and every state government, the legislators, the governor's offices. I mean, it's just the courts. We've been infiltrated. We've taken over. And you know, it took me a while to realize that. But when I was very naive, of course, at the beginning, and I figured, oh, I could beat these people. I got the Constitution. I started looking at the Constitution. It was pretty clear. I saw the direct taxes. You know, I worked through some of those things and saw I can use the Constitution. Well, when you get in court, you find out the Constitution, they don't let you use the Constitution. They shut you down, you know. But, you know, you learn the school of hard knocks, and after a while you start to figure things out, and sometimes you're able to deal with a judge. You know, you can signal the judge certain things. You can put put him put him in a situation where he's at risk, you know, himself. But some of these lawyers or judges, you know, they just don't care. Lost in this craziness.
Well, have they done this stuff that, you know, is talked about where, you know, the individual has been turned into a corporation and all this other stuff, or is that
right.
just...
Well, yeah, again, no, that is... Well, this is the game they play, because it's the statutory prison that they've constructed. look at
so our birth certificates are like our bond or whatever.
Right. Well, look at they took over. They were taken over Congress a long, long time ago. They've been battling it up, and by the time the turn of the 20th century came, they owned Congress, and they pretty much owned the courts. There was still a battle in the courts, but a lot of things hadn't changed. In 1871, with the Organic Act of 1871, they created a state within a city. Within a state, within a city, within which is really our federal government, the seat of federal government. They've created a state there, and in that state, they put a governor in place, and later on, that governor took control when the bankruptcy went through. I mean, you know, we've got a paper on this and step by step on how this whole process happened. It's a little hard to see when you read through the act, the 1871 Organic Act. It's a little difficult to see, but you can see very clearly that there's a governor in charge, and later on you can see that the bankruptcy was handed over to that governor, and now that governor controls everything, okay? And the Federal Reserve, of course, belongs to them. That's the whole economic system that they control the whole world through, ultimately. They're losing control now of that. But that's going to go away. And the key thing here is this.
Mm-hmm.
When we take these people out, we're talking trillions of dollars they've got. They've got gold. They've got silver. They've got the other precious metals. They've got businesses. They've got, homes, that are worth multi-millions of dollars. Look at the Rothschild,
Didn't go across the pond. I was told that he had gone across the pond somewhere and brought back.
He sees the gold, yes. He sees most of the gold, if not all of the gold, while he was in office. He was able to uncover it and seize it and bring it back, yes. That's what we've heard. And so the gold is back already. But the thing is, these people have created all these businesses. You know, they control the news, the whole news process, everything news. All of the national news, they own it. They control it. I think it's five different corporations or something like that control the entire process. And so that in itself is a huge amount of money. It's businesses. That's going to be seized and taken away, and it's going to be auctioned off to the people. But, the money that comes in from that, all of the money that they have, the properties that they have, that's going to go back to the people. Clearly, the governments can't take. What are they going to do with it anyway?
Wherever there's a deficit, there's a credit somewhere, so somebody's got all the money.
Oh, yeah. So there's lots and lots of money. And so people are going to benefit from this. We've been injured, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We are casualties of war. Some of us has died, and some of us have lost many, many things, and even our liberty. And we're casualties of war. We've lost our money. We've lost our businesses. They've destroyed everything. So we're going to take it back, and for every injury, there must be a remedy. All that money's got to go to the people. But it's not just the people in the United States. Remember, this is a worldwide thing.
Oh, yes.
This everybody in this world is going to benefit from this. You know, you take what's that guy's name with Tesla? Musk.
Elon Musk.
Yeah, Elon Musk. Okay, you take what he's doing with the satellites. He's looking to give free internet access to everybody. You know, when big corporations, when they no longer have to really put in the kind of money that they're putting in, and they can return, they can do things to the people. And, of course, there are certain tax, commercial tax and activities and stuff. I mean, take commercial activity on the roads, for instance. When you get these truckers, they get out on the road, they have to, and they buy the diesel fuel, there's large taxes in there. Same thing with gas. And a lot of that goes to pay for the infrastructure and to pay for the necessities. And so, of course, commercial activity, they have to really pay certain taxes in order to keep things going and also, keep the government going to begin with. And it's a lawful tax.
But when you turn all of us into a corporation and bleed the rest of the people dry, that's not.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I remember making a point one time and telling them, hey, look, if I'm a corporation, I got to feed this corporation. I should be able to write off my feeding. I have to, oil the lube this corporation, so to speak, you know. And that costs money, so I should be able to write all that up. Ultimately, you write everything off. They don't want to hear that argument, though.
No, but it's a slave mentality.
Yeah. But, you know, look, at with the IRS can be beat. They're hard to beat. I wouldn't say they can be beat. They'll leave you alone at some point when they realize that they don't want certain things to be in a court and said in a court and be part of the record. And they do expunge a lot of the record. You know, they'll go in and clean up the record and take things out. They do that all the time. And,
but they're not a part of the government, and they don't even, as you said, they're not even.
Well, the IRS is not part of the government. Neither is the Federal
Reserve. Neither is the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, they're not part of the government at all. And they just appeared. Congress never enacted any act to create the IRS. It just, you won't find that. They just appeared all of a sudden amongst the other agencies. Actually, back in, the, I think it was in 1971 is when they actually appeared, you know, alongside other agencies.
How are they collecting the tax for the victory tax?
I'm sorry? What do you mean, how? They're taking income tax. They shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, but the victory tax was for World War II, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I don't know exactly how all that worked way back when, but yeah, that's when they started playing around with the taxes, and then, of course, they never stopped. They said it was for the war, exactly. I don't know too much about the details of that part of it, though. But really, you know, look, at by 1871, that, you know, again, that act that they did, which was the Organic Act of 1871, that particular act was the foundation and the structure that they have built everything off of, and they've created this statutory prison. They almost got away with this. I mean, we're about ready to lose everything. Thank God Trump got into office. I don't know how it would have happened.
He wasn't supposed to.
No, of course not.
No. From calculation and going back and replaying Hillary Clinton's total unprofessional reaction was that she figured she was a shoo-in because they played the ballots then too.
Mm-hmm.
But the overwhelming voter turnout, unexpected voter turnout, was still enough to put Trump over into a legitimately elected right. president. She would not have been legitimate if they had calculated higher. That's why Biden got into office, is because they went even higher, knowing that they could have lost the next election.
Right. Well,
Biden never came out at all to campaign or anything. They kept him hidden as an embarrassment.
Mm-hmm. Well, all this is being revealed, and it's going to really come to a head very, very soon, I believe. Anyway, still don't see anybody else in the queue, but we're going to move on in a minute or two. We're going to go over
to... No problem. I can't believe I got in to talk to you, and this has just been very informative. I have new places to look and to read. And just for the record, I'm not a spy or anything. I am truly looking for answers. I'm trying to put things together for the group at our church. We have two campuses, and I'm trying to put things together to also meet with, there's a group, what we call CCNJ, that was founded by somebody for Concerned Citizens of New Jersey. And, you know, it's just things are growing. And I just said, hey, you guys, we need to check out this website because I'm going in. So I've read the book. I've been telling people about your book, and I'm waiting for the next one. And this has just been fantastic. And
we got a lot of booklets, you know, that you can come out and get. They're free. You can download them. They're PDF booklets.
I will get through. I have to work during the day, and then, you know, I'm 8 hours on a computer, 10 hours on a computer, but I am going through it just about every night. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll pull everything that I can and look at the videos and, you know, and I'll share them. And, you know, I hope to talk to you again, and I really appreciate the time, you know.
Well, just real quickly, under Starter Committee of Safety, you come down to Handbooks and Tools, and you'll find a lot of things here. I mean, this is all the information, of course, that you need in order to create you know, committee of safety so that people can get involved on the grassroots level and take their local government back and their piece of the federal government, because, you know, you have representatives of you and the different...
Absolutely, and just so you know, it's one of the things that, you know, they keep talking about at the church, you know, people please, you know, if you feel called, please get involved in the school boards, get involved in this, you know, find out.
Well, look, at it, if you want, you know, we're going to be traveling soon. Hopefully Gerard will be traveling with me, but I'm going to get traveling again throughout New York, Connecticut, and we'll go into Jersey and Pennsylvania and various other states close by to some degree. And so if you want, we can try to maybe plan something for sometime in June, maybe. I can't do anything right now because I want to finish my book, and I got a lot of catching up to do.
I totally understand. I totally understand. I would connect you with my pastor. If there's a, you know, if Jan wants to email me, I can get an email to you to Jan with my email. I've emailed them before.
Well,
so.
why don't you connect with me in 2 weeks? You know, get a hold of me here on the call, or you can get me at mail@nationallibertyalliance.org, which of our leadership gets a copy of that. But if I see something go through of mine, you know, that is meant for me, I'll grab hold of it. And often, you know, Jan or someone will let me know that, hey, there's something that I should be looking at. But I try to keep an eye on that. So if anything's coming in for me or a question that I need to respond to. A lot of people see that mail. And by the way, let me just make this a point again, because I've sent out some emails, or I've tried to send some emails out to people who have put us onto email lists. So we're getting, you know, junk mail. People want to tell us things or do things, you know, give us videos and different things by sending it to our questions or to our mail. And we really don't want to be on that list. We want to use this for the business of National Liberty Alliance, what we're doing.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
But talk to me in a couple of weeks and see, and maybe see where I'm at, and maybe I can make a connection with your pastor and come out and we'll talk. But if
sure.
I go to travel, you know, I'm going to need a couple of hours to really lay out the whole program and leave them with a lot of information.
We usually do a Saturday from 9 to 11-ish.
That'll be good, yeah.
That's usually the time frame. I do not know what the summer schedule is. I know he would want to have a good sit down with you, you know, even if it's on the phone or whatever, we can figure that out. But you know, I'll get back to you in 2 weeks. You figure out your schedule. This is awesome. And I love the fact that you play the Bible in the beginning before anything starts. I just want you to know that.
Well, yeah, I chose, you know, faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. And I think reading the Bible is the most powerful way to share scriptures and to pray, because instead of doing a prayer, it's much safer to read the Bible. And again, faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God.
With the Bible in their hand. If you don't understand that, you're not going to understand the Constitution.
Well, absolutely. We're a common law nation, and the God of the Bible is nature's God, and that's the key to who we are as a people, and that's where our heritage comes from. Our liberty comes from our relationship with God. We made a covenant with him through the Declaration of Independence, and we established the law of the land as being the laws of nature's God. And in return, we've been blessed with liberties, and even to some degree, we don't deserve it. I mean, but we have been assaulted by the kingdom of Satan for a couple of hundred years now, and there's still a lot that still are in our hearts and our minds that we, you know, have kept us free. You know, even mm-hmm. though people are ignorant to the common law, they're ignorant to the Constitution, they're ignorant to the Bill of Rights, but there's certain things they know, and you know, they just been growing up with. You can't take my gun away from me. I can say whatever I want. You know, this is an attitude, an American attitude. You know, and so that's kind of really held us there. You know, I've heard people say, well, we really didn't need a Bill of Rights. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. If we didn't have a Bill of Rights, we would have fallen 100 years ago.
Yeah.
That Bill of Rights is what really has saved us. Jefferson really understood this when him and Madison got together on this. So, all right, but anyway, I got to move on. It was a good
Thank
call.
Thank you so much.
And we're still empty on the queue, so if anybody else wants to get into the queue... star 6 and a 1. Let me see. Yeah, nobody else in the queue. But we're going to move over to Brent in a minute. Let's see. Gerard, are you here? I see a lot of me here. So, Gerard, are you here? I don't know if Gerard's here or not. Right. Hey, by the way, Terry, are you coming in two ways or just coming in with your own name?
I'm
only coming in one way.
Okay, so, you know, maybe you can let everybody else know that they can change the name and put their name up there. They don't need to put, you know, use my name to come in. There's four John Durash is in the room right now, you know?
I've tried, and they don't want to accept it.
Well, I'd like to know who they are. I think Gerard's figured this out and is coming in under his name, but I don't know if I don't see him in the room right now. So, okay, anyway, we're going to move over to Brent. Brent, are you ready to take the mic for a short?
Yes.
Okay. All right, this is Brent Allen Winters. He's the author of The Excellence of the Common Law. His website is commonlawyer.com. And Brent's going to talk for a while and teach us something, and we'll pick back up with an open forum after that. You got the mic, Brent.
Thank you, John. This is Brent. Brent Allen Winters, commonlawyer.com, www.commonlawyer.com, and my comments are my own. I'm going to read a short piece here. And the author of this piece is, well, I took this from two sources. C.S. Lewis, some of you have heard of him. He was a Brit writer and professor. And the other one is David Douglas Winters, Commander U.S. Navy, retired attorney at law. And you can see further on this subject. You don't know what the subject is, but Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12, a note accompanying the words, children are their oppressors and women rule over them, discussing the two signs of a people's demise, oppression by children and rule of women. According to Isaiah the prophet, see also further Proverbs chapter 23, verses 1 through 3, and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, wherein Paul the Apostle tells us that the effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom or the authority of the skies. Well, this is from appendix number 72. I want to read here, and I had taken it from these two other sources, C.S. Lewis and David Douglas Winters. And this is Appendix 72 from the good book, Uncooked. A Common Lawyer translates the Bible from the original tongues and annotates. Now, let me start here. Again, my comments are my own. A Gentleman at Common Law. This piece was published in a magazine written by David Douglas Winters. Here goes. At common law, a gentleman is, number one, a man, number two, competent in doing violence, but number three, does not so, or forbears from doing so, according to God's delegated discretion. Pursuant to God's law. C.S. Lewis concurs in this definition. I'm going to read that definition again. A gentleman at common law is, number one, a man, number two, competent in doing violence, number three, does so or forbears from doing so according to God delegated discretion, pursuant to God's law. And therein lies manhood's virtue, I'm continuing reading, that which the modern feminist, the lesbian-minded woman and man, and those men following them, the effeminates, both fear and hate. Therein also lies the reason they desire emasculation of the male, by any and all means available, such as putting little boys on Ritalin and putting women in military service, a madness contrived only of a nation of cowardly men. It is impossible to keep such genteel power, being under male discretion alone, under female effeminate control. In fact, the male has an exclusive God-delegated monopoly to apply or withhold any competence he uses and holds in doing violence. He can use it to protect those within his charge or to assault those threatening the duty of his jurisdiction. His discretion alone restrains or directs it. Such God delegated, that is, male discretion, being no part of the female jurisdiction or ability of discretion. To be sure, the female can do violence, but unlike the male, she attacks according to discretion unlike the male who attacks according to discretion and on purpose, she attacks on instinct without measure or mercy. Indeed, in this way and by her role, the female of the species, writes Kipling, is more deadly than the male. The feminist, ancient and modern, fears, hates, envies, and denies this simple reality of maleness, the gentleman's non-delegable duty against such male power, except male restraint or other masculine opposing male force. Even the feminist must appeal to one or both of these for her own protection, and that, above all else, is what she hates. Failing to understand, appreciate, and accept her own God-delegated non-delegable power and jurisdiction, that's of the female, she cannot feel equal. So she prefers men emasculated in a world harmless where she needs no protection from gentlemen. But notwithstanding, she can be protected only by the male power of the discretionary violence that she fears. But no such world exists. No such world ever has existed or ever will. She wants Aslan the lion to be a tame lion and her house pet, docile, toothless, shy, submissive, obedient, tethered, and bound. It ain't going to happen, and a good thing it cannot. Indeed, we will always have fathers who insist upon teaching their sons gentility, that is, competence in violence and restraint against abusing that competence, all according to purpose and on purpose, and according to God's law. Such is the crowning virtue of manhood, which is God's natural aristocracy. Again, that's taken from two sources, C.S. Lewis and David Douglas Winters, Commander, United States Navy, retired attorney at law. Now, in our own day, I'd pointed out a while ago, the sign of the demise of a nation, one of the two signs, is that women rule over men. And that is what we see in a juggernaut. No, it's worse than that. It comes on apace. You want to be in a position of power, authority as a female, all you have to do today is put your name on the ballot. The men have backed out, and they don't care anymore because they don't want the upfront position. It's dangerous. They want the women to go fight those battles for them and are happy to let them do it, and that way they don't get blamed for their evil. Down, the perverts take over. Pornography goes rampant, women are abused and children like never before, right now. And the more that this continues, the worse the abuse against women and children will be. There is no change in it. I had a fellow tell me recently, he said, I think these gals that are getting into office are going to do the job. I said, well, you're living a pipe dream. God says otherwise, and the testimony of history backs him up. He ain't gonna let it happen. It doesn't work that way. And that's why the abuse of women and children is higher now than it's ever been. Well, if my people, the Bible says, if my people, and that phrase, as you've heard me point out before, my people, the Hebrew phrase, ha'am, or my people, ami, that's possessive first person, ha'am is the people. But in all cases where that phrase occurs, my people are the people, it always denotes a band of armed men, not women, men. And the Bible forbids women to take up military weapons, except, of course, in the defense of their household. Some people get upside down with me and complain, well, you don't think women ought to learn how to shoot. No, I think and insist that every stable-minded woman learn how to use a firearm effectively in defense of her home and her family if need be. But that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the militia, the people, ha'am. That's different. And those are the duties of men. And as long as men brook or even promote, as some do, many do, that women are to take their place in harm's way, take the place of the men so they won't be harmed, take the humiliation that comes with political office. And it always comes, by the way. You want to be in political office? You're going to be humiliated. You're going to be discouraged. You're going to pay a price, and it's not going to be a pretty one. Well, that's the job of men. That's not the job of women. And it gets uglier. It destroys families. It increases the abuse, as I'd said before, of women and children. Well, what are we to do about it? Well, I'm doing one of the things we ought to do about it. Right now, I'm saying I ain't no part of this. I'll have nothing to do with it, and I'll speak out against it. It's evil, and it's from the pit of hell, what we're doing. I don't care how Christian people think they are. They can say, I'm a Christian, and I'm for Christian values, and run. No. You cannot do God's work other than God's way. And government is God's business. It's all of his business. And his kingdom is the foundation and the goal of all of his existence. Well, that means government and his will, that is his law, rules all. And if you want to be a part of that and be lifted up when he brings it in, well, then don't go along with his law and speak out against doctrines of demons. And that's what I'm doing here. I'm watching myself do it. Sometimes it surprises me. But I do know that I don't want to go down when the hell falls on everybody else that's going to fall off. I'm with them. And I don't want you to go down with them either. And if you stand idly by and say nothing and do nothing, but start by just saying something. I ain't no part of this. I'm not going to be a part of this ugly, filthy, stinking, rotten, upside down, shenanigan ridden government, all three branches that we're experiencing. Are people saying that, or are they playing footsie? Like one fellow said, the only difference between the Republicans and the Democrats is the Republicans want to drive off the cliff at a slower speed. They growl a lot, and then they go along with them. I don't want to go along with them. And friends say, Brent, you're swimming upstream. You're trying to push a rope uphill. Yeah, I suppose maybe it's true. It's not like I haven't been at it for decades, and it isn't like I haven't suffered the brunt of the violence of it. I recognize what the problem is. I recognize it's not always pleasant, but I really feel, I feel good about speaking truth. And when you speak the Bible and what it says, you speak truth. Now, some of you are saying, well, I don't agree with you. I'm a Christian, and I don't agree with you. Well, your fight's not with me, so no sense telling me. Your fight's with God. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, and of course I can see in history that it plays out just that way, and I'm watching it play out right in front of my eyes. I don't want to be a part of it. I hope you don't either. Well, this is Brent Allen Winters, commonlawyer.com, www.commonlawyer.com. And you can join us for our how to draft common law asset protection trust, or 12 weeks of presentations. We taught a much longer course, well, quite a bit longer, on just trust law itself, a creature of our common law, exists only in common law countries. But now we're teaching, and I've not seen this done before. I like it. I think the folks that are participating like it too, how to draft your own trust document, the fundamentals of it. There are a lot of trust promoters out there, document peddlers. They'll skin you out of a lot of money. And then you take a chance to go into prison too. I've seen that happen. Matter of fact, I've been right with them when it's happened. Try to defend them. These things happen. So, we're talking about trust law and how it works. The fundamentals of it, really, you don't have to get beyond the fundamentals. Go to commonlawyer.com, to commonlawyer.com, and you can see how to sign up for the trust course. And we have other courses we've recorded, audio and visual, contract law, due process course, and a course on, as I'd said, trust. And we've had other courses. We even had one, I don't know if it's up yet or not, on patriot mythology. A lot of it out there. Like I say, as who was it? Sam Johnson said, patriotism is the last refuge of a scoundrel. And scoundrels flock to patriot movements. They always have. And it's hard to weed them out. But just be aware. If you're in a patriot group, there are scoundrels there. You may not be a scoundrel, but believe me, they're there because they're hiding. They're hiding behind patriotism to protect their evil, and some of them just to make money. I've watched that too. Well, that's true in churches as well, I suppose. And churches should be patriotic. They should be thankful for the land the Lord their God has given them. The presentation, we're polluting the land, and when you pollute it to a certain point, the cup gets full, God draws the line and drops the hammer. And he puts it in the analogy of vomiting. He says the land vomits you out. Again, this is Brent Allen Winters, commonlawyer.com. Thank you for your attention, and thank you for letting me say a few words.
Okay.
We're back to John.
Thank you very much, Brent. Appreciate it. All right, and yeah, people should be taking these courses, and we have courses here also, and you know, we have to learn, and we cannot have liberty. We cannot exercise our right of government by consent without having a proper education, and that's what all these courses are about. And I'm really happy to be in this one that Brent is doing right now. I've done some trusts, and I want to make sure that I've done it right myself. So, so far, it's number three coming up, right, Brent?
Number three, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And you can go back and watch the two that if you missed the first two,
right.
You can watch them. Yeah.
Okay. All right. By the way, is Gerard here? Before I take and anybody wants to get into the queue, we have one person in the queue. Anybody wants to get into the queue, star 6 and a 1. And Gerard, if you're here, pipe in, let me know. Meanwhile, we'll take our next caller. It looks like Linda. You've got the mic, Linda. Go right ahead. And again, anybody else wants to get into the queue, star 6 and a 1. If you've got any questions, comments, or corrections, get into the queue. Linda, go right ahead from Virginia.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. I didn't really intend to jump right in here, but you said nobody was in the queue. So
right.
I had the situation with the state of Virginia trying to say that I owed taxes for 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're paper tiger.
What?
The state is a paper tiger when it comes to that. They'll send you letters and different things, but they never take you to court. I've dealt with these people so many times, even on unemployment through the state, you know. And also, of course, with the state taxes and stuff. They really rely on the federal government to do the collections and stuff, and then, of course, they receive the money back from the federal government. The IRS kind of collects all of it, I think. the way it
Well, they may not take you to court, but they are taking my tax refunds. And of course, they'll take it out of my estate in the end, you know. Yeah.
Well, they'll be a little careful on that. Again, they have to give you due process. They got to take you into court before they can take your property. But they're able to get the money that they've been withholding on you. And we've spoke before, I believe, on this, correct?
Oh yeah, I told you about it, and then I was going to do a notice and demand, and you told me to call in, and I called in, and you advised to do a sworn statement affidavit, which I did.
Yeah, but I'm working on a chapter right now on notice and demand for the book, and as soon as I get that chapter done, if you want, I can send you a copy of that chapter. If you haven't, unless you've already figured out the notice and demand process.
Well, what happened was I gave them 30 days in the affidavit to respond, and then I actually did, just before the 30 days was up, I got a notice from, it was like a rental lawyer. It wasn't from the state of Virginia. It was from some lawyer group that they said that they were counsel for the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they just gave a broad, they cited a U.S. code, and they just gave a broad statement that, you know, it was kind of like you have to pay taxes.
Yeah, did you bring up that indirect taxes is unlawful? And it's in the Constitution. It's a violation of the Constitution.
I didn't put that in there, but there's another aspect of this, and that was written off in bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. So
right,
they
right.
should not be trying to collect.
I heard that taxes, I know the IRS, they ignore the bankruptcy. You can't write off in a bankruptcy any money owed to the IRS.
No, that's not true. You can
I don't know for that for sure. That's what I've been told.
You can file a Chapter 13 to write off taxes, but you end up with a payment plan, and I did. I paid over 5 years on a payment plan, and then everything is dismissed. So mm-hmm. it does, there is, you know, you can do it, but you have to do a Chapter 13 and a payment plan. So that's the catch to it. And they are trying, but the other catch to it is they are trying to say that I did not file my taxes for 2006.
Well, did I mention to you that they have to have two papers and they must be notarized? They have to have, first of all, the fiduciary authority to look into your accounts and to deal.
I do have those notes. Okay. Yeah, and I will put that in the notice and demand.
Let me just say this. Here's the key thing, and I don't know whether I was clear on some of the things that you might want to do, but what I'd done with the IRS, and I've been communicating and having letter writing with the IRS for over 20 years now, and every once in a while, you know, disappear for a while and then you rise back up again. But every letter I get from them, or anybody in any government agency sends me a letter, I will respond. I respond very specifically to exactly what they're talking about, and basically they've been lied to when they write all these papers and they put these things together. The things that they're putting in there is not really true, and if you
right exactly down, that's exactly what happened.
Right, if you go down the rabbit holes of all of these, maybe the statutes or code or whatever they're giving you, you discover it has nothing to do with me, it has absolutely nothing at all.
That's exactly the case. The way they responded is not applicable, you know. It's just
and they
my, one of my questions is do I have to respond to a, I know I have to respond to anything that the state of Virginia sends, mm-hmm. but now they've got a rent a lawyer or whatever.
Yeah, I would always respond, because then they're building a case that where you're acquiescing. That's what they're building. That's how the IRS comes out after you. They'll spend a year or two writing letters and frightening you and all this stuff. A lot of people will succumb very quickly and pay it.
And you know what? That's exactly what I want to do with them. I want to build a case
know,
exactly.
I want.
That's why
I
you
want to do. I've done the sworn statement. Now I want to do the notice and demand. I know I'm going to end up in court. Mm-hmm. They're not going to. They're going to keep squirreling around.
Well, my book will be out soon, and I'm going to cover this kind of a situation, especially with the tax. And you could apply this to state tax, IRS tax, or anything. You know, you want to respond to every paper they send you. You want to make a case against them, and they can. They have to have a proof of claim. No agency, nobody can come after you for any money, and claim anything, and either you know to either collection. You know, and that's how you can get a lot of things off of your credit reports because nothing is proven. There's been no due process for in order for them to claim that you owe anything. There is no papers that that give the you know the amount of money that you actually owe in an affidavit form. So they have to have those two things. You know, fiduciary authority, number one. And a proof of claim, number two, it's an affidavit form. It exists. The IRS has the forms. It's form 4490 and form 56. Those are, if you just go on to Google and put form 4490, it'll show up. If you put on form 56, it'll show up. There are two IRS forms. One is a proof of claim. One's fiduciary authority over your estate. And
what does that do exactly? What it makes them step up to the plate and validate it or something?
Well, they'll never do it. It doesn't exist. And here's when you really get them. Here's where you really get them, and you get them in a criminal act and it's fraud and fraud on the court and all kinds of stuff. When they go and they put a notice of lien in your county, okay, mm-hmm. You take that notice of lien, that's a piece of paper that they have filed, okay, and someone's name's on that somewhere, and, you know, then you go down to the federal court, you will find out that they did not file those papers. That they have to have filed two papers. Fiduciary authority gives them access into your bank account and other places where they try to claim that, you know, these are all taxable monies and so on. And of course, the proof of claim. Without that, there is no lien. So when they give a notice of lien to the county, it's just a notice of lien. People don't understand what that means. A notice of lien is they're saying, what they're saying by the notice of lien, without explaining it to you, that there's a lien in a federal court building in your district, your federal district court, that there's a lien there. And it's been filed there. And it doesn't exist. They never file them. They never sign them. Never, ever.
And are you putting this?
Oh, I use that in my court case. I got an apology letter. I got a release of lien, a lien that doesn't exist, okay, from the IRS when I took them to court. And the other thing is this. They will always inform you before they take you to court. And that was and when they informed me, they've done this to me twice, maybe even three times, where they informed me that they're now going to go to the court, so they're going to seize my money. I immediately sue them. I'm the plaintiff. I take them to court. I bring it into the state court. They bring it into the federal court. I put everything onto paper, and they don't want this on paper. They want this case to now go away. It becomes a problem for them because I understand the game, and I put it on the paper now. And
I have countersued, and that's been effective.
Yeah, they
way,
do. Well, always try to be the first, especially with the IRS. If you know that they're coming out after you, sue them first, because first of all, they may try to go out after you criminally, because you know the IRS especially they like to pull that criminal thing in on it, criminal element. So if they file first, they may file a criminal thing. So the other thing is, and this is extremely important, when you sue them, I sued the commissioner. I always sue the commissioner of the IRS. I sue any agents I have. I know it's not their real names, but it doesn't matter.
I took your advice, and I sent the sworn statement to them.
I sued the sheriff, and I sued the county clerk, and I sued my banks. I sued everybody. Okay, and what that did, it froze everyone up. They couldn't come out and take my money because you brought them into the court. It's being the courts, you know.
Are you putting this thing about the fiduciary and the proof of claim in your chapter?
Oh yeah, I'm going to have all that. Everything I just spoke about, how to deal with the IRS, all that'll be in the book too. It'll be there's a chapter specially for that purpose.
And
you say that the states are not as bad, but what the states are doing is they're just copying the IRS, you know.
Well, that's exactly what they're doing, but I've never been brought to court by them. It just falls away at some point. At least it would be it. The states come out after me on a couple occasions. They tried to get money off of me on different things. They never got anything from me, and they never came out after me. And to me, it's a paper tiger. I went down to, I had a battle with the state with the unemployment, that they wanted, that claimed that I owed them money or something. And,
right.
And I was, they're all administrative courts. That whole thing, again, I'm surprised I wasn't arrested because I got angry at that court and I hollered at the judge in the court and they didn't do anything. They cowered down and I caught myself and I'm realizing, you know, but it's not a real court. It's all administrative courts. And nevertheless, you know, I could have gotten in trouble. But
so that was not a federal court, right?
Oh no, it wasn't a federal court. I mean, it didn't even look like a courtroom. It was an office building with an office. You sit at a table with chairs.
On this, I don't, you know, I've tried to call like Optima Tax or one of those tax peoples to just take care of it, you know. In a way, I'd just rather pay them to take care of it. But they won't take anything under $10,000 and they won't take state tax things, you know, only IRS. So, you know, you're just left without any kind of, help, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I'm in the middle of the lawsuit with them again, and now I'm going after them. The U.S. attorney and the judge who conspired and committed fraud on the court, and they also the judge, trying to think of the words I was using on this.
Collusion?
Well, all of that, of course, you know. But if I think of it, I'll pipe it in later on. But in any event,
I just feel like this is extortion. It's outright.
Yeah, it is.
Extortion.
You must answer everything they do. You must respond to everything they say. And if you dig deep, you can correct them in the paperwork. And look, it's only a matter of looking up the meaning of words, and words that you think mean one thing may mean something else. The IRS is notorious for that, okay? And you respond back or you ask them questions, and they don't even answer your questions. Where does this come from, or that, or the whatever they're saying in the paper. The other thing is, at some point you want to ask them questions and they're not going to answer, or you want to make statements that they're not going to respond to. So you see, they're acquiescing. You're turning the tables on them.
That's what I want to do.
Whenever I deal with the government, I am always building a court case.
Right.
And not that I deal with the government often, but particularly the IRS, you know, and they're not even really the government. So...
I just wish there was another, I wish there was a, other than suing them, I wish there was a course of least resistance or something that would work, somebody that would pay attention. That's it. You have to get the attention, and you can't.
Oh, by the way, the word I was looking for was felony rescue. Okay, that's what the judge did with the U.S. attorney. Committed a felony. Then rescued that judge. I mean, rescued that U.S. attorney from a default, and of course it's the same old game. They conspired to throw you out of court. I forget what rule they call it. The rule 11 or something. I forget what it is. And it's always the same old thing. They claim that your paper doesn't make sense. They don't understand it or whatever. I mean, my papers are crystal clear, and I'm going to lay out those papers that I. You could use the papers over and over again in any court as far as the IRS is concerned, because they always pull the same things. They always use the same codes. It doesn't matter. And I can lay it out right on the papers. They conspired to just throw me out of court, and they've done that often. I did get two cases ago, I got a... an apology letter and a release of lien from the IRS.
Really?
Yeah. But then this slick, somehow they left $80 on the table, and that has grown to be another $100,000, and that's only about four years.
Well, see, that's the problem with this, is they've gone back
they've
picked a year, 2006, 15 years ago. Now, there are some years that I actually owe for, and I'm more than willing to pay that, but if I make a payment, they're going to put it on the bill that I don't owe, you know, because they have that discretion. They get to choose where your payments, you know. I need to check on that, but I'm pretty sure that's
what you need to do right now. Okay, if you haven't done it, and before you do a notice and demand, let the letters go and respond back to the letters. And the key thing that you want to push on, and they may never write back to you again if you do this on the state level, is ask them where their proof of claim is, because you don't know what they're talking about. Give me your proof of claim. Now they got to get a piece of paper. And again, like I told you, there's a form, 56 and 4490. And they have to now fill that paper out, lay it out, and exactly
and
how
someone has to sign it.
And
someone sign it.
It is a affidavit form. It has to be sworn before a notary or a judge.
That's what you have to get from them. Is
of course, they'll never do
their signature. You can't hardly get a signature from any of these people.
So when you go to court,
you don't have anything.
No,
you
that's
know?
When they go away. I'm telling you right now. That's when they go away. Okay.
All right.
That's how I believe I won with them in I talked about the fraud that they had committed, claiming that that there is a lien on me that doesn't even exist in the federal court.
And is that the one they released?
Yeah. And now my last case in there, I laid it out on paper. They don't want because I laid out exactly how they committed the fraud. Okay, I laid that out in the court papers finally. I mean, I didn't do that before, but I did it this time.
I'll have to tell you a story one time about beating a lien, and it's interesting, but it made my lawyer smile, I know that much.
Mm-hmm.
Or laugh. He actually laughed, you know.
All right, we have another caller here, and I want to take anybody else want to get in the queue, *6 and 1. We have a little time left here, so
Let me know when that chapter is done on the notice and demand.
Yeah, I'll let you know. Send me an email again to put aside for you so I have it, you know, your email address.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, let me take the next caller. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Okay, John, Michigan, I believe. Let's see, next question. You got the mic, John. Michigan, right?
Yep. Hey, I've been listening, and it's very interesting, the first lady that called, and I'm sure there's dozens of people out there. I know I've talked to several, hopefully a couple of them are on tonight listening, but there's a lot of stuff going on. I'm very encouraged. One thing that you mentioned, though, is you talk about the IRS and you talked about the taxes. They don't need the taxes. We're looking through the wrong end of the telescope on this thing. They can print all the money they want, but if they printed all the money that they wanted and they push it out into the economy, the inflation will go crazy, and that's what's happening right now. But the reason for taxes, think about this, is to pull some of that money out of circulation so it makes the money that is in circulation worth something.
Well, I don't think they really concern themselves for that. The reason of taxes is to enslave us, and inflation just enslaves us more. Inflation itself becomes a tax, ultimately. I mean, look at nobody. Very few. My nephew. Okay, he's working at ShopRite. He just started working a couple of months ago, and he's getting like $13 an hour. I think it is. He's going to move over to Home Depot, and they start you off at $15 an hour. And who could live on $15 an hour? I mean, it's really, you have to have two incomes. Even two incomes, $30 an hour, still, I can't live on 30 bucks an hour. It's really tough. I mean, it's really $15 an hour. It's really, really tough.
Just 2 years ago was maybe $6 or $7, and they were talking about maybe getting a living wage of $15. And this is
when I was a kid and first started working, it was I think it was $1.35 or $1.65 an hour was minimum wage.
Well, whatever, all the above. But I mean, nothing is what it seems. That's for darn sure. And all the stuff that they're doing is got multiple reasons behind it. But I mean, I'm seriously, the college loans, student loans. That's not for the students. That's for the college. Who would take a underwater basket weaving course for $400 a credit hour if they had to pay for it themselves?
Colleges are charging way too much for education. Number one. Number two, look at children. By the time a child finishes, ninth grade, they should have equal to a college-level education today. I truly believe that because I've seen schools that really know how to teach. My son went to one, and he was reading at eighth grade level when he was in second grade. I mean, they really, focus in and teach children. And you don't get many schools that actually do that. It was a private Christian school. And, there's no reason why, because they feed our children a lot of pablum. They feed our children a lot of politics, a lot of all this new age or world stuff, whatever you call it, I don't know. But all this craziness they feed them, teaching them to be, commies or whatever. But we need to get our education back. Our children need to learn the things that are important in life, what they need to learn. They have to have a proper education. They have to learn to learn.
That's what.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. Don't teach them. Teach them how to learn, and then they can go by themselves.
I recall, I think it's $19,000 a year for every child going to school. Okay. From first grade to fourth year in high school. I believe that's what I heard. That was a couple of years back, probably even more than that now. But anyway, something like $19,000 a year. So let's say $20,000 a year. And Trump's idea is, and I've heard this before, and Trump was pushing it, look, give the money to the school wherever the people want to go, send their children, let the competition begin, And that's what really needs to happen. You can go to a really good private school. There's lots of Christian schools out there far less than $20,000 a year, and they give you a real good education. But that's what we need to do. As a matter of fact, I would imagine if you're homeschooling, then mom can get it, so to speak, and the parent who is teaching could get it, and that becomes a job in itself. The money's going out there. For our children to learn, and it is up to the government to provide at least that, the basic education. Again, I think everyone should have a college-level education by the time they reach ninth grade. I don't think there should be a requirement beyond that unless you're going for a doctorate in something,
Yeah, I'm going to do that. If you ever, and I got to get off the phone too, but there's a eighth grade.
Well, or the other thing was very interesting. Musk had said this. I was listening to him somewhere. He was talking, and he had gone to school. I think he was in California. He went to school, and he got some degrees, in computer science or something, whatever it was. But he said he never went to school. He only went to school the first day, got all his textbooks, heard the first, class. And then just showed up for the test. He studied the textbooks because all the tests, everything's going to come out of the textbooks. I said to myself, I wish I thought of that. I would have really gotten a lot of the different degrees over the years just by studying the textbooks and going in for the tests. So anyway, it was an interesting way of dealing with it if you're a self-motivator. And you can discipline yourself, and you're interested in whatever it is that you're looking at, and get it done and move on. You can get a really good education and get the necessary credits for it just by using the textbooks and taking the tests. But go ahead, you were going to say something else.
If you got a chance, just look up on the internet 1896 Kansas eighth grade test.
Yeah, I've got that. I hand that out at meetings.
I defy almost any college graduate to take that.
Yeah, everybody says they couldn't pass that test. I haven't met anyone anyway.
They had one math problem where they They said, you know, a kid takes a wagon load of grain to market, and this is what their costs were per bushel on the thing, but it gives the measurements of the wagon and metric, and he's got and they expected the kids to do that. They couldn't do that with a calculator now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and back then they could do it in their head.
Right. Well, that's the other thing in school. I think computers are crippling people. I mean, you know, a class on computers is an important thing, and the use of computers to some degree is an important thing. I mean, I live on the computer, of course. I get my education on the computer, but I use it all for education. I don't ever play a game on my computer. But in school, I think there's way too much going on. They push too much in the computers. We've got to get back to books. The other thing with the computer problem is, I know my nephew, when he was going to school, he just graduated last year, and but when he was going to school, he never brought a textbook home, you have no idea. He'd bring these papers that they'd run off, you know, off the printer, which came off the computer, which came off their programs. But you know, parents have no idea what's being taught, none whatsoever. And so there's no textbooks that you can look at to see what the child is learning.
Or not learning, or being indoctrinated.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. They're being indoctrinated. Exactly. So that's the problem.
That Kansas 1896 eighth grade test was that's a real, it tells her a lot. It tells you a lot.
Absolutely.
Now, so, yeah.
Absolutely. That's a real education. So. Okay. Anything else?
Not that I know of. Keep the faith.
All right. You too. All right. We've just about come to the end anyway. We've only got a couple of minutes left. Next week, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to look a little bit at, you know, maybe I'll do the notice and demand next week if I finish off that chapter. But I think I just finished off the chapter, or very close to finishing off the chapter on habeas corpus. And, you know, I may do something on that. It's kind of a long chapter because there's quite a few pages involved, but I might not be able to do all of it. Maybe I'll do a part of it. And it's very interesting. People should know how to do a habeas corpus and file it on their own. And again, that's why I'm doing the book Court Access. I could never find a book anywhere. Still, I have no idea where I can find a book on how to get into the courts, how things work. It just doesn't seem to exist. I mean, maybe it is, it does, but I haven't been able to find it. And again, that's why I took that course. Gerard took that course too. Jurisdictionary, that's the name of the course. How to Win in a Court Without a Lawyer. Jurisdictionary. When I took that course, I got all hard copies. Now I think they're doing all computer stuff. Everything's on the computer as far as, you know, they're not giving you really any books or anything. But I think that's how that's going. But again, you know, I learned the process. I learned the forms, and I learned a lot. You know, I got to understand how things work to some degree, and then School of Hard Knocks, I worked it all out the other side. But people should know how to do this, and that's why I'm writing this book. And I think I'm very close. A couple of weeks, I might be done. So, okay, we've come to the end of our program. Let me see if there's anybody else went back into the queue or anything. Nope, nobody in the queue. All right, we've come to the end of the program, so we're going to close down. It's 2 minutes early tonight. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Godspeed, everyone. Thanks for coming. Good night.